Jake and TD special Thursday edition of the show. And we are live, presented by Soul Nashville. Jake Lyman, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport. TD, we just heard from you on the station about an hour ago for the TD Power Hour, but we're back. Got a full hour here leading into Giants and Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great, man. I can't get enough of it, man. We got to keep going and going and going and going.
Well, it should be a fun show. We're going to get you set for Monday night. Titans headed down to South Florida to take on the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football for the second straight year. We'll also get you set for the Thursday night game tonight. Should be a fun one. NFC East matchup between the Giants and Cowboys. TD, let's start. Well, first of all, before we get into it, since we are live, I do want to let the listeners know you can text us today. Usually on our show, we're not able to take texts on the text line, but 615-737-1025. If you have any thoughts, questions for TD, let us know. Again, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, let's start with the game on Sunday against the Packers. We kind of said last Friday that it felt like a must win, as much as a must win can happen in week three of the season.
Yeah.
They weren't able to get it done. 32-17 final, losing to the Packers, falling to 0-3 on the year. Tough one for the Titans, and for me, this one made me feel a little bit worse about the Titans than the previous two. Because the last two, you could say, man, if Levis just doesn't make that stupid mistake or the punt doesn't get blocked, they win those games. Yeah. Packers, it kind of felt like Green Bay took it to them from the beginning and never really looked back.
Yeah, that's really what happened. They took it to them from the beginning, that first drive, man. And what can you say about Malik Willis? 2 30-yard throws in his career with the Titans. His first drive against the Titans, 2 30-yard ones. And that one where he – you saw him look, can. And he made the signal to Christian Watson, and Christian Watson gave him the signal back. And they went up top, man. It was a beautiful throw to him. And it wasn't – there was just so much that Roger McCreary could do, and then he rushed into the end zone. I mean, right from the start, right? And, you know, the Titans did a good job answering on their drive, but then you had the pick six. And, man, there just was a lot to that game that really you know, it worked in the Packers' favor.
And props to the Packers coaching staff, because as people in Nashville who have watched Malik Willis for 3 years, I felt like I was sitting on my couch just waiting for the mistake to happen.
Yeah.
Malik's going to throw one away. Malik's going to take a bad sack. Malik's going to fumble. And he never did. He kept on making the plays that they needed him to make to win that game. And props to Malik Willis, props to Matt LaFleur for having the right game plan to come out and win against a team that knew Malik Willis better than anybody else in the league.
Yeah, they did a great job. And Matt LaFleur said afterward, you know, you guys have no idea, you know, the way that he progressed. And I think, you know, shout out to Malik for being able to go in there in that situation and operate. And shout out to Matt LaFleur and that coaching staff for giving him the backing. And I think that's something that's so lost on professional sports, the mental side of it, and how much knowing that this staff, hey, look, you're our guy. And knowing that, and they showed that early in the game, right? 3rd and 18, that 37-yarder to Christian Watson. It would have been very easy, and shoot, watching this Titans team, we've seen many times where it's 3rd and long and they call a screen or a dive, because basically they're just saying, hey, we're going to try to make this a little bit better situation to punt. LaFleur said, no, Malik, I believe in you. We're going to call a deep crosser to Christian Watson and make the throw. And he did. And I think that's an example of how this staff really had him right. 120 quarterback rating for those who are concerned about that. Most rushing yards by any quarterback since 1990. Don Majkowski. Like, we're talking about 34 years ago, right? And, I mean, overall, 202 passing yards. I mean, his first – yeah, he was outstanding in the start.
And you make a good point there that typically when you have your backup quarterback in, and a backup quarterback who's known more for his ability to run the ball than throw the ball, you're not pushing it down the field on 3rd and long. Like, you're just trying to avoid the disaster. They trusted Malik Willis, which, again, you got to give him all the credit in the world for what he's been able to do these last 2 weeks. And, you know, when Jordan Love went down, I think a lot of people are saying the Packers kind of have to go get somebody because Malik Willis can't do it. Well, he's proven that he can over the last 2 weeks. And as much as you hate that it happened against the Titans, it's cool to see Malik Willis having success after leaving Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
For the Titans, Will Levis didn't have a... It was a pick six, so you could call it a disaster, but he didn't have a play where Brian Callahan is yelling obscenities on the sideline like he was 2 weeks ago. So not a Superman flailing, throwing the ball away, but still did make the mistake on the pick six. And it kind of did feel like that was the turning point in the game. Titans offense had gone right down the field and scored on their first drive. But then after that, it felt like the hole just never was easy enough to dig out of for Tennessee.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Jarrett Stillman made an excellent point, you know, when we were just doing the TD Power Hour. He was like, man, it was 17-7, and it felt like in the stadium it was 17,000-7. And he's right, man, because of how rare it is for this team to score over 17 points, it did seem like that. And, in fact, by the time they take the field against the Dolphins, Jake, it will have been 1,000 days since this team has scored 30 points. Now, coincidentally, that last time they did it was against the Dolphins here. But, it's been a long time. So when you see something like that happen, it is a turning point, and it's one of those ones where, because it's Will Levis, the echo of the error is a lot bigger, right? And you look at that and you say, how can he make this idiot, right? And you say that. In the moment, it does look that way. Kurt Warner had a really good breakdown as far as showing how you make that throw, like why he made that throw. Now, me personally, as we said last week, Jair Alexander is my favorite corner in the league, so I know what he could do. I just think in that situation, you got to know the personnel that you're facing, right? You got to know that he is a guy that will come down and drive on the ball and pick it off. And I know he was playing off coverage, but Chris Sanders made a really good point when we talked about this on Talking with TD. His butt was pointing to the sideline. And one of the things, when you look at that, right, you know that that defender says, hey, I got an extra teammate. His initials are SL, sideline. You know what I mean? And the split, the way the split is, you know that the route is going to be, you're going to be able to drive down on the ball. So, in my opinion, it was a bad decision, but it wasn't as bad as the previous two that he made earlier in the season.
It was a bad decision within the structure of playing football, which is something you can live with more than the hero ball decisions that he's made in the first couple of weeks. But it doesn't excuse the fact that the Titans have the worst turnover differential in the league, and that's been the main issue. Is it 8 turnovers now for the—
Minus 7, I believe. Minus 7.
Does that include the kick from week 1 where it bounced off Velus Jones' shoulder pads? Is that the one?
Special teams are excluded.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah. So, but 8 turnovers for Will Levis through 3 weeks.
It would be worse if you did include special teams.
Yes, with the punt blocks and all of that. But the defense hasn't been able to force turnovers. As good as they were in weeks 1 and week 2 against the Bears and Jets, they still have not been able to make those big plays. And yes, the offense is going to get a lot of the blame because they've given the ball away. They haven't been able to put up as much. They haven't put up over 20 points yet in the game. But the defense has to start creating those opportunities to give short fields to this offense and set them up for success. I think it has to happen this week against Miami if they're going to get a win.
100% right. And the thing that's really beautiful about what you just said, Jake, is this is exactly what the defense is saying, right? Jeffrey Simmons, yep, especially. He says, hey, look, man, because I asked him about Will. You know, look, is Levis, you know, is he still the quarterback? Yeah, you know, this, and this. But we have to, as a defense, give them short fields, give them turnovers, more opportunities to score the football. So you're 100% right. And it is something that, you know, it goes to what we always talk about. When you look at complementary football, right, you have a nice drive that gives your defense an opportunity to get off the field, like to get some rest and not be on the field. But conversely, as a defense, you create that turnover in the plus side of the football field, that gives a short field for your offense.
And with Malik Willis, I mentioned it earlier that you felt like you were going to get him at least once or twice. You thought maybe you'd get Caleb Williams in week one once or twice. This week, you're probably getting a backup quarterback again. Well, you are getting a backup quarterback. We just don't know exactly which one yet. Skylar Thompson, rib injury, I believe, is the designation. Yeah. He was limited in practice today. And Snoop Huntley, Pro Bowler. Tyler Snoop Huntley has been added to the roster there.
How
so two guys that if you're facing a backup quarterback, you got to get him.
You got to at least get one
and give your offense a chance to cash in on that. So going to be interesting on Monday night to see if the Titans can take advantage of yet another backup quarterback in there in back-to-back weeks, having faced Malik Willis. And again, Mike McDaniel, I believe he said they have an idea of what quarterback is going to look like, but they're going to hold that close to their vest as long as possible. So we'll have to find out later on in the week whether it will be Huntley or Thompson who goes out there on Monday night for the Dolphins. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to get into the offensive line a little bit. It was a rough go of it for the Titans offensive line on Sunday against the Packers. But there have been some bright spots for that front five, including first-round pick J.C. Latham. So we'll get into that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text us, we would love to hear from you. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Jake and TD, brought to you by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by Soul Nashville. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you, talking football here on this Thursday night. A little different than our usual time slot. Usually Fridays, 6 to 7. We'll be back there next week. But we're getting you set for Thursday night football. Giants and Cowboys coming up. You'll be able to listen right here at the top of the hour. We will get to that matchup later on in the show. But first, let's keep talking Titans and Dolphins coming up on Monday. We'll stick with Titans and Packers, actually, from this past week, and talk about the offensive line a little bit, TD. 8 sacks in the game. Never a good number. A lot of those came late in the game when the Titans really had to push the ball down the field, and, you know, you're not getting the ball out quick because Will Levis has to hold it for these routes to develop, but still not good to see 8 sacks on the total for the game. And Nicholas Petit-Frere, he was benched later on in the game. Kind of a competition between him and Jalen Duncan.
Who could be the prettiest pig, right?
Nick Holes, I believe, said today that tomorrow's padded practice is going to be a big factor in who ends up starting on Monday night. Jared tells the right tackle story all the time. I think we all have to eat some crow who have said it'll be fine over at right tackle, because clearly it wasn't exemplified by the one play. Was it Inigbare who beat PT, got to Will Levis, fumble, and kind of ended any momentum that the Titans had in that third quarter.
And, you know, the thing that's frustrating about a couple of those sacks, I say three, the one that Petit-Frere gave up and the two by Duncan, is the effort. It's one of those things where, like, you put your hands on his shoulders, you look in his eyes, and you say, like, where's your dignity? Like, where's your pride? You know what I mean? And that's how I could see a coach approaching that type of effort on those three plays. Now, to Petit-Frere's credit, there were a couple reps that he had against Rashawn Gary where it's like, maybe that's why they felt they had a right tackle and didn't have to go out and get one. But there were more plays where you're just like, come on, man, the effort. And the other thing that was happening in that game, and this is something that has happened multiple times, the Jets did it, the stunts, the twists, and the games that they're playing up front. They would overload and stunt, and it was just like, oh, my God. Will Levis is about to die. You know, because there were a few times where four guys were right there, and they're all just partying, and Will Levis is laying down, and he's looking up, and I couldn't imagine what's going through his mind. You know what I mean? Because the way they were able to, and the thing that was crazy is they picked on the left side and picked on the right side. You know, and there was one. It ended up being Cushenberry. It looked this way. I can only say it looked this way because I don't know for sure like what the assignment, everything that was going on. But it looked like Cushenberry got beat. But a part of him getting beat, like that sack that may have been credited to him, was when the tackle, when he looped inside, or the end, when he looped inside, Cushenberry and Skoronski got a little, like his left leg and Skoronski's right got tangled up, and he fell back, and the guy was able to get in. So, you know, long story short, there's a lot to be improved upon, right? The great thing about all this is the guy that you picked this year.
He looks good.
He's a cornerstone. And he's lived fully up to the billing of a guy who's a top 10 pick and who a guy that they felt was the best tackle in the draft. You know, it's arguable because Joe Alt, you know, when healthy was solid too. But, yeah, it's looking good from him.
And that is a huge piece moving forward. If you have your cornerstone franchise left tackle locked in, that makes a lot of things easier for the Titans moving forward for years to come. But you do have to figure out the rest of the line. And, you know, you mentioned with Nicholas Petit-Frere, a couple of reps he wins. And this is a dude who was a five-star recruit out of high school. Like, all of the physical tools are there. You said it with Jared earlier today that maybe it's in here a little bit. Like, maybe there's just something going on where it might be a personality thing. But the fumble is the one that's going to get brought up a lot because, you know, he gets beat. And then there's a still frame out there of him back in a three-point stance because he kind of got juked out of his shoes a little bit. And when you get beat that bad and there's a fumble, you kind of expect the guy who got beat to have a chance at it because he should be turning back. He's the only one who knows that the quarterback's about to get killed.
Yeah.
He was nowhere close.
At least yell, look back, be like, hey, Will, look out. Something. Give him something. But you know the thing, and also you talk about what's inside. The thing that kind of irked me is because I remember seeing him on the sideline with his helmet off, and I'm like, did he get pulled because of a concussion or like some type of injury? And when it came out that he wasn't injured, I'm like, bro, put your helmet on. What if something happens to Duncan? You gotta go back.
You gotta be right back out there.
And I'm not a huge like facial expression guy, but like he was just standing there and the look on his face, like I almost felt bad for him. I'm like, damn, like what is going through his mind? Like I couldn't imagine what it's like to get humiliated like that on national TV. But at the same time, you got to remember that, right? One of the things that they teach in issues that I'm dealing with is you take your past and you allow your past to be your biggest weapon, right? So the stuff that I dealt with in last December, right, that's a big weapon. And I'm like, ain't no way I'm going back to that. Just the same with Petit-Frere going through this now, you got to remember this and be like, there's no way I'm going to deal with this again.
He can't let it happen again.
Yeah, so it's just interesting, and I'm curious how he bounces back from it.
And it's a tough week for Nicholas Petit-Frere. You give up 13 pressures against the Jets, and I'm not sure whether he decided the timing of it with the fantasy football company, but you know, a guy who already had a gambling suspension, taking on a side gig with a fantasy football company, and then you go out and, I mean, That's one of the worst sacks that you'll see this year. Didn't even get his hands on the guy. Your quarterback gets killed, and the Titans were going down to make it a 3-point game at that point, or at least we're going to get back within one score. Mm-hmm. They finally had a little bit of momentum, and all of that just goes away on that play. It's tough, and you know, maybe he does get run back out there as the starting right tackle on Monday, but I find it, because Jalen Duncan hasn't been much better, but it kind of feels like the toothpaste is out of the tube with Nicholas Petit-Frere at this point. It's tough to go back.
Yeah, it is tough. I thought it was interesting. Nick Holtz, he said today that, you know, they've rotated reps before this week. So we'll see tomorrow. You know, that's going to be the big one. But, yeah, I mean, I guess they're going to try to get as much juice out of that fruit as they can with Petit Ferrer. And we'll see. I don't like the idea of rotating them in the game. But, hey, look, man, they get paid to do that stuff. I just get paid to talk about it.
Well, I don't want to be super negative on the offensive line because we did touch on J.C. Latham. It's been cool to see his development over just a three-week period because mm-hmm. week one against the Bears, he wasn't great. He gave up some pressures. He gave up the strip sack that ended up kind of flipping the momentum back towards the Bears late in the game. But, man, he's been good. And I think that the first step is always the left tackle when you're trying to rebuild the offensive line from scratch. And if the Titans, at this point this year, you're 0-3, if you're building that offensive line to try and be good next year, you feel good that you've got pieces at mm-hmm. left tackle. Cushenberry's there at center. You hope Skoronski can come around and start to live up to his top 15 pick hype. But if you have Cushenberry and Latham at left tackle and center, that's something you can build around for the length of Cushenberry's contract at the very least.
Absolutely. And if you want to go ahead and put together a highlight reel of J.C. Latham's run blocks, just go ahead and pick your favorite heavy metal song and play right to it, man. Like, it's been fun watching him.
It's been really cool to see that work out, especially I think Titans fans in general have a little bit of PTSD, no pun intended with PT, of picking tackles early in drafts over the last few years just because of you've picked three tackles in the first three rounds over a three-year period, and none of them have ended up being good starting tackles in this league.
Right.
So I think there was a little bit of apprehension from Titans fans of like, hey, this hasn't worked out in the past, and Latham wasn't the flashy name of a Joe Alt out there, and even Olu Fashanu was talked about a little higher than J.C. Latham at times. It's nice to see.
Not from me.
Not from you, but maybe in the national media.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fashanu was getting some of those top five looks, at least heading into last year.
He was.
It's nice to see J.C. Latham is panning out to this point because I think Titans fans need a win on the offensive line from a top flight pick.
Well, the little wins, man, the small victories. You have to find them.
Going to be interesting to see how the offensive line turns out on Monday night because you're facing a tough pass rush up there. I mean, Calais Campbell, the ageless wonder, is up there or down there in Miami now. And I don't know.
Jalen Phillips.
Is Bradley Chubb healthy
out
there?
No, he's out.
He's still out.
Manny Ogba is still solid.
Yeah, lots of talented pass rushers up there. And, you know, coming off an 8-sack game, things can go one way or another. We saw it 5 years ago when Marcus Mariota got sacked 9 times. The next game against Denver is widely known as one of the worst offensive performances in Titans history. So you would hope it goes in the other direction on Monday against Miami. Jake and TD here on this Thursday evening, moving up a day. The Preds playing tomorrow, so we are with you. Leading up to Thursday Night Football, you can listen to Giants and Cowboys right here on the game starting at 7. We'll take you right up until kickoff. When we come back, we're going to start previewing Monday night's game a little bit more between the Titans and Dolphins. Where are some matchups that the Titans can exploit? Can they get themselves into the win column against another backup quarterback and head into the bye week with some momentum? That is up next. Jake and TD, presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. There you go. This could be your J.C. Latham highlight tape right here.
Yeah.
little. I believe this is Metallica, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Jake and TD here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We're getting you set for Thursday Night Football, which you can listen to right here on The Game coming up in about 30 minutes. Also getting you ready for Monday night's game between the Titans and Dolphins down at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. You can text us 615-737-1025. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get into this game on Monday night a little bit, TD. Titans-Dolphins rematch of last year's thriller on Monday night where the Titans came back from down 14 to win it in the final 5 minutes of that game. Going to be a lot of Dolphins fans who remember, or Dolphins players and coaches who remember that game, because that kind of started the downfall of their season. Ended up losing the division by one game, and then go to Kansas City and lose in the first round of the playoffs. I'm sure that they are going to be ready to roll for that game on Monday night, looking to avenge that loss from a year ago.
Yeah, talking to Marcel Louis-Jacques, the ESPN NFL Nation Dolphins reporter on Talking with TD, he told me that it is something that they're keeping in mind. And he said that that win by the Titans over them was it was devastating. And it's something that, you know, a lot of the guys are thinking about as they get ready for that game this week. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they went from finally winning the division, right, to having to go on the road, and how much of a punishment could it have been, right, to go have to see Patrick Mahomes, where it's been a graveyard for every visiting quarterback in the playoffs, not named Joe Burrow.
And one of the big highlight or viral highlights from that game that people will remember is L'Jarius Sneed kind of bullying Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage, throwing him down to the ground. We'll get a rematch of that matchup as well. Again, backup quarterback in there, so not sure how much the Dolphins are going to be throwing it around the yard, but I think you mentioned to me before we came on air that it seems like Sneed might be following Tyreek Hill around the field a little bit, and maybe we see a little bit more physicality from him at the line of scrimmage.
I think Denard Wilson kind of let the cat out the bag a little bit, and I had asked him about just the way that the Titans defense is going to be challenged vertically because of the speed of Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, in addition to the speed of Devin Achane and Raheem Mostert. Right. And he was like, you know, we got some guys that could run with them. And he said that, you know, L'Jarius Sneed, you know, I'm looking forward to watching him, you know, match up. And I said, you may not have wanted to, but you did.
Stand in the middle of the field and see where 10's going.
Where he's going. I love that. You know, another thing, Nick Suss, the Tennessean, Titans reporter for the Tennessean, he did a great job following up with L'Jarius Sneed, you know, and he asked him about, you know, how he's feeling. And Sneed said, I'm not playing well and I feel disrespected. And so we all looked and he was like, you know, Nick was like, well, what do you mean you feel disrespected? He was like, I just feel it. I feel it in my soul. I was like, we might get a fired up L'Jarius Sneed. Now, granted, you know, for those who hold weight in PFF, they gave him a terrible rating.
I saw that he's rated as like the second worst corner in the NFL, but I saw somebody, and again, I need to start writing down who is saying these things on Twitter, but somebody said that they are only grading on throws that target him, and they're like 3-for-3 targeting L'Jarius Sneed this year, but he's only been thrown at three times or something
and
like
there's,
that.
And there's something that has to be said about covering a guy and keeping the quarterback from going to you, but I digress. I just look forward to that matchup.
That's
really
gonna be a
fun
forward
one. To it. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I think the Titans' similar game plan with Malik Willis as what you would have with Snoop Huntley, which it feels like that's the way it's going, is that it's going to be Tyler Huntley at quarterback. Jeffrey Simmons said as much the other day that they think it's going to be Tyler Huntley. Mm-hmm. But also, it's a little different game plan because the Packers don't have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Right. Like, Christian Watson and Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs and all these guys, they're good wide receivers, but it's a little different when the backup quarterback has two of the best weapons in the league out on the outside to throw the ball to.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you have that speed and that rushing game. Now, the thing that's crazy is despite that speed, they haven't really been able to work that wide zone as much this year. It hasn't been as productive. And they're also having, well, granted, Tua has been, you know, he was gone last week, but their red zone off, because last year they were the top red zone scoring offense, 75%.
Yeah.
You know, and the Titans were the top red zone defense at 37%. And those two met, and the Dolphins got inside the 5-yard line 5 times, scored 2 touchdowns. So, you know, that's something that to watch. Obviously, it's different crews, but you're right. The speed is going to be something that you have to be extra careful about. And I'm curious, right? Jarvis Brownlee Jr., you know, him He grew up 5 minutes away from the stadium. You know, this is a dream come true for him, just like it is for Snoop, who, you know, is a Miami kid. But that dream could turn to a nightmare quickly when you're looking at the speed that Jalen Waddle has and the speed that Tyreek Hill has.
Yeah, no Chidobe Awuzie, so could be Jarvis Brownlee Jr. making his first career start just down the road from where he grew up and possibly matching up with Jalen Waddle on the outside. So it could be a tough matchup for him, but an opportunity in front of, I'm sure, will be lots of friends and family down there at Hard Rock Stadium for him. On the other side of the ball, the Titans trying to get the offense going. And we did see DeAndre Hopkins start to get involved in the offense and started to look like the old Nuke out there on the field on Sunday against the Packers. We've also seen a game where Calvin Ridley looked like the guy they paid him to be against the Jets. We've seen a game where Tony Pollard went off against the Bears. It'd be nice to get all those guys working well together at the same time on Monday night in Miami.
That would be really good for the offense to be able to do that. So we'll just have to see. I think, you know, you look at those guys and you look at the tight ends too. There was a question asked about the tight ends today, and it was a really good question. Lauren Walsh asked a question, and she said, like, you know, last year they got 2 touchdowns out of the tight ends all season. You got 2 in 3 games, right. And Nick Holtz touched upon the personnel and how they trust those guys as far as Levis trusting Chig Okonkwo on that throw against the Bears. So even expanding it from those receivers to the tight ends, and then just think, you got the receivers, running backs rather, and Spears and Pollard too. That there's a lot of weapons on this team. They just have to find a way for Will Levis. You know, they need to get like Jerry Sloan and John Stockton, right? You know, Callahan has to be Jerry Sloan calling the plays, and Stockton Levis has to be Stockton distributing the ball.
Little off topic here, but you bring up the tight ends. I wanted to bring up this jumbo package the Titans have been running the last couple of weeks with Daniel Brunskill out there, tackle eligible. Like, it seems to be working when they bring him out there. I mean, you've got 6 offensive linemen and 2 other tight ends, and they've been able to run out of that formation and also use the play action off of it. It feels like that's something that has been a staple the last couple of weeks for Brian Callahan.
Yeah, it's what you do when you have an offensive line that's struggling a bit, right? And I think it allows you to have more time to throw the football. You look in the first play of the game, that's what they did. Daniel Brunskill, tackle eligible. They boot Levis opposite that side. He throws to Josh Wiley running the deep over route, you know, from right to left, and it's a 25-yard gain. And next thing you know, your quarterback is like, all right, yeah. You know what I mean? And everything is good. And that drive was a beautiful drive.
Yep.
So you're right. And I think, the drive was capped off with
I think with Nick
you know what? Ridley had the jet sweep.
Right.
But the very next drive, their next scoring opportunity, you know, it was jumbo again and Nick Vinette on the 1 yard outbreaking route.
Well, getting Will Levis into a rhythm is going to be crucial on Monday night.
Yes.
It feels like this is the game where the excuses are starting to wear thin for a lot of people with Will Levis. Yes, it was just the first couple games. Yes, outside of the dumb mistakes, there have been moments where you see the Will Levis that I think we expected to see taking the step in year 2. Feels like he needs a really good game on Monday night. Like, needs a clean game, not mistake-free. There are going to be mistakes, but don't make the back-breaking mistake and show some of those flashes to get him back onto that track that we were hoping to see heading into year 2.
Yeah, and he's going back to the scene where he had his only 300-yard passing game in his career. And I'll give you another nugget, Jake. He became the first rookie to pass for 300 yards on Monday Night Football, right? So it's clear that there are some things there, but we talk about getting in a rhythm. If you get Will Levis in a rhythm, you get Brian Callahan in a rhythm. It works hand in hand. And a good example, they had a bit of a drive going. It's 4th down. Obviously, Callahan, you know, he put the punt team out, timeout, brought him back out. Packers timeout. He switched from shotgun to the play. Levis has to throw that ball to Tony Pollard. And it's a part of, like, advanced quarterbacking, right? You know, and the thing that it just hit me, right? Brian Calais Campbell mentioned Will Levis and his running ability, right? So it's something that defensive players know about, right? It's in the scouting report. Use that to your advantage, right? Attack the line of scrimmage. Pull that defender towards you. little right dump pass. Tony Pollard, get that first down. If you get hit, sorry, but it's better you than me. You know what I mean? And that's really what it has to come down to.
And we've talked about this before, TD, that there has to be patience with a young quarterback and a play caller doing it for the first time. But also, you have to start to see progress. And we've seen it at times. We've also seen the same issues start or keep popping up. I think we need to see on Monday night that there is tangible progress for both Brian Callahan and Will Levis. And I think that could end up being the difference on Monday night. We've talked about two things. Can the offense get going? Maybe get above 20 points. That might be asking too much. And can the defense force turnovers? I think that's going to be huge if the Titans are going to get a win, get into the win column for the first time this season on Monday night down in Miami. Again, you'll have plenty of time to get ready for this one as a Monday night game. We'll have a full day of shows on Monday and then the pregame show 4 to 6 as well. So still plenty of time to get ready for that one. We're going to get you ready for Cowboys and Giants starting off week 4 in just about half an hour. We're going to get you set for that coming up next. Jake and TD presented by Soul Nashville here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake and TD, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment here on this Thursday evening. A day earlier today. Next week, we'll be back at our usual slot, Friday 6 to 7. We are presented by Soul Nashville. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you. We've talked pretty much all Titans through the first 45 minutes of the show. We're going to wrap up getting you ready for tonight's game. Cowboys-Giants on Thursday Night Football, starting off week 4. TD, this one, maybe at the beginning of the season or even a week ago when you look at it, you kind of thought, all right, this might be another blowout. Cowboys, Giants haven't looked good. But, man, Malik Nabers has kind of revitalized this Giants team. Two touchdowns against the Browns on Sunday, making Daniel Jones look like a serviceable quarterback out there, which is it's crazy, but that's the type of talent that Malik Nabers has, reason that he went number 6 overall in the draft.
Yeah, great job in the one, getting his toes down, the body control. That's how you attack the football, right? And you got to make plays for your quarterback, especially when your quarterback is Daniel Jones. You got to help him out. And I think he did a great job doing that. This matchup, right, he against Trevon Diggs is going to be interesting. I remember watching a bit of Nabers, you know, at LSU last year, and they worked, some double moves. And, you know, I'm curious if they're going to incorporate that because we know Trevon Diggs, he likes to jump those routes, you know, and this is where you take advantage, right? You look at the personnel, know what they like to do, and try to work it against them. And I'm curious if they do that.
I saw today Malik Nabers' highest target share in the entire league, which it makes sense. There's not a whole lot of other mouths to feed in that offense outside of Malik Nabers right now. TD, I don't know if you – did you see the clip, the mic'd up clip with Myles Garrett and Malik Nabers? I thought that was funny.
Thank you too, sir.
Yes, you too, sir. Myles Garrett giving Malik Nabers his flowers after one of those touchdowns, and Malik Nabers, you too, sir. Just little rookie talking to the vet, the reigning defensive player of the year. On the other side for the Cowboys, you're 1-2. Tough loss against the Saints a couple weeks ago when Derek Carr decided that he was Peyton Manning for a couple of weeks there. And then last week, nearly came all the way back and handed the Ravens a second straight heartbreaking loss, ended up falling just short of that. Feels like the Cowboys really need a win, especially with the way the Commanders are playing right now. Like, they've looked good through a couple of weeks. The Eagles are obviously always towards the top of the division. Cowboys really don't want to fall to 1-3 heading into week 5.
Yeah, you're right. And they don't want to fall to that. And I love the accountability that CeeDee Lamb has taken. And, look, man, like, you signed a big-time deal, bro. It's time that you got to deliver. And he is someone – you talk about helping your quarterback. Like, he's someone that helps Dak Prescott. So they're going to have to get that together. And you look, hey, Shane Bone is going to be coaching this defense for the Giants. And you look at that, they don't have somebody. They're not going to be able to go man, you know. So now you got to get your zone beaters and those things out. They need this win badly, though, because we know everything's bigger in Texas. And it's even bigger in Texas, in Dallas, you know. So they do have to get that together. The thing, NFC East, I followed, like, that's been the division I followed all my life. It's always, I don't care how good and how bad a team, it's always, you got to watch out. Because it's going to be a fight, and these are rivalries that are very, very deeply rooted. And these teams, like, they legit hate each other.
How many years has it been since there's been a repeat champion in the NFC East? 15?
Yeah, 15, 16. Something like that? Something crazy like that.
So
you understand it.
Cowboys are the reigning champions, correct? Yes.
Yes.
Eagles won it 2 years ago. Cowboys won it this year. So they're already behind the eight ball just in terms of the trend of how this division has played for the last decade and a half. But this year, I never really understood what Jerry Jones' plan was for this offseason. Like, he comes out to the media and says, we're all in. We're going all in. And their biggest move was bringing back Ezekiel Elliott, who was average with the Patriots at best. So I'm not sure what all in means, because guess what? After this year, you've got these big extensions for CD and Dak that you've already signed. Mm-hmm. Micah Parsons needs to get paid.
That's, yeah.
Your roster building ability is only going to go down from here, and they really did nothing to build on last year's team that didn't even reach the NFC Championship again.
Well, the thing that confuses me about being all in is, you know, if you're all in, then why does it take you so long to sign
your
quarterback?
Your star quarterback and one of the best wide receivers in the league.
In the league, you know. I know they got Rico Dowdle. They drafted him, and he's a guy that I heard a lot of connections to pre-draft, but, I mean, you know, yeah.
There's not a lot that moved the needle for the Cowboys this year.
It's yeah.
This is a league where if you're not getting better, you're falling behind, and the Cowboys just kind of stood pat this offseason and watched a lot of other NFC teams blow right past them.
Yeah, and I mean, Brandon Cooks is only he's still a good player, but I mean, like, his window is shrinking. So it's just I don't know, man. Like, Dallas is just it's an interesting team, and they, I don't know what to make of them, honestly.
I don't either. And the NFC is, the NFC so far this year has just been kind of chaotic through 3 weeks. A lot of the teams that you expected to be really good this year haven't been. The 49ers are 1-2. The Eagles are 2-1, but barely, with that win over the Saints this past week. Then you've got teams like the Seahawks that are 3-0, and the Vikings are 3-0. The NFC, we knew it was going to be less kind of structured than the AFC, where the AFC is so quarterback driven and the teams with the best quarterbacks are usually the teams at the top of the standings. The NFC, you've got Sam Darnold and Geno Smith are both undefeated in the NFC right now, and teams like the Cowboys, like the Eagles, like the 49ers have slipped a couple of times to start off the season.
Yeah, they'll get it together.
For sure.
You think of the 49ers, right? No Christian McCaffrey. They've still found a way to run the football well, but, you know, obviously things change when you get that guy on the field. So
no Debo or George Kittle either.
Right, no Debo. Man, my fantasy team, man, dang, you know.
Hey, but you got Vol legend Juwan Jennings putting up 50 fantasy points for people out there last week.
Yeah, so, that's something. The Eagles, obviously, A.J. Brown, they've been without A.J. Brown. I think if they have him in that game against the Falcons, I think they win that.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, Saquon Barkley needs to look it to the tuck and then turn and run, but different conversation. To your point, it is kind of topsy-turvy right now, but I think it will have its way of correcting itself.
Do we think the Giants, despite their loss or their win on Sunday, do we think they're still in the cellar of the NFL along with teams like the Panthers? And you hate to say it, but right now the Titans are in that conversation as well. Do you think that Sunday was more of a fluke against the Browns, or do you think that maybe the Giants could be a little more competitive than we may have previously thought?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be more competitive. This game, like I said, it's a division game.
Yeah.
They're going to compete in this one, but I think it's just another one of those things where, you know, the lack of talent on the roster is going to begin to show. And we're talking about the offense, right? You know, Devin Singletary and Malik Nabers, like, that's your offense.
Yeah.
No offense to Vols fans, but Jalen Hyatt has not really given you what you want what you need, right? No. So outside of those two, there really aren't any threats on offense. And you got a quarterback that's mediocre.
It's a big game. Giants and Cowboys. Somebody's fallen to 1-3 in the NFC East heading into week 5, and they'll have a long time over that mini bye to think about it. So enjoy the game, everyone. Should be a fun one. We'll have our coverage coming up next here on the game. TD, fun show. We'll do it again next week in our normal time slot on Friday.
Yes, sir.
For Teron Davenport, I'm Jake Lyman. This is Jake and TD brought to you by Soul Nashville. Enjoy the game. Cowboys and Giants coming up next. You're on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.